Welcome to the Bible Reading Plan Recap, a podcast from Clear Creek Community Church. We're walking through the entire New Testament together in 2024, and in each episode, we'll discuss the past week's scripture reading, what we've learned, how God has convicted us, and how we can prayerfully devote all of this in real ways. We hope it's helpful. So, last week was spring break.
Yes.
Yep.
Did you guys do anything fun?
I did.
What did you do?
I went to the Bahamas.
Oh gosh. All of you guys, or just you and Aaron, or what?
All of us with my whole family.
Nice.
Yeah, it was like a big family trip we planned a long time ago. We went to Atlantis.
Aunts, uncles, cousins. Yeah, I didn't know this.
No, just like my brother and he has four kids too, and then my parents. And then randomly, two of our family friends were there it's like Austin, my 9-year-old, and Aubrey, my 11-year-old. They're like two of their best friends were also there.
And did you know that going in or no?
We found out way, way late, a couple weeks before we went. Yeah.
That's fun.
It was really fun.
How about you?
Yeah, we went to Garner State Park with a whole bunch of people.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I love Garner.
It was great. The weather was perfect. It was all well and good till the drive home.
What happened?
I got hit by two deer.
What?
Yeah, I didn't tell you this?
No.
I was driving home early in the morning. I was towing a travel trailer. My in-laws have this travel trailer they let us use, and driving home about 4 a.m. because I wanted to get through San Antonio before any traffic. The lanes there are super narrow. But I was on these backcountry highways. Speed limit was 70. But it starts to sprinkle a little bit, and lightning was striking, and so I slowed down. But lightning struck a group of trees right ahead of where I was driving. And I thought, like, oh, that's close. And as I got there, a group of deer come running out. And the first deer, her head hit like where the headlight is on the driver's side, and her body wrapped around and smashed in the driver's door. And
that's scary.
The second deer hit the bed of the truck. And like 1 second later, I would have hit a group of deer head on.
Yeah.
So
everybody's safe. It's just the car that was messed up?
Yeah, just the vehicle.
Were they all screaming though, your kids?
Well, I was the only one. So Donya and the kids had left the night before.
Oh, okay.
And I packed everything up and like emptied the trailer, you know, all the stuff you got to do. It takes hours. And went to bed early, got up at 3 a.m. thinking, this is the best drive. I did not account for wildlife traffic.
Whenever you said two deer hit me, I was like, you definitely hit the deer. You're just saying that. But they really
actually,
did
the
hit
insurance
you.
Company, thankfully enough, they're like, yeah, you got hit by deer. That's not your fault. Comprehensive.
That's awesome.
Claim.
So it was spring break. I once visited my parents. Just feel like I have to share too. You guys did cool stuff.
We cared.
Some more fun? My parents live in Canyon Lake, went and visited. It was very relaxing. But I bring all this up to say, it was spring break, and so I took a break from bread for sure. And so I had to do a lot of catch up.
Yeah.
When last week was done.
Did you listen? How about you guys? Read?
I read and listened. Yeah. I did my normal thing, I had to do, which was helpful because for this podcast, we're going to cover the rest of Acts. It was helpful just going back, because I'm like, man, there were some cliffhangers. Like, I wouldn't want them to have left off. I wanted
you. The end of 21?
Yeah. All of them. It's like the end of each one. You want to know what's going to happen in the next one.
Yeah.
But how did you guys do on spring break? You're like, I was in nature. Yeah, I did it every day.
No, I didn't.
Before everybody else.
Yeah, no.
You're in Atlantis.
Yeah. I was like, everyone leave me alone. I'm working. Yeah. No, I read some, but I definitely didn't study.
Yeah.
And I was playing catch up this week with everything though, with kid stuff, with house stuff, with work stuff. And so I still didn't do as much studying as I'm used to doing with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
Which is fine.
Yeah. I didn't study and I didn't read every day either. I read kind of in chunks, and then I listened twice through the chapters we're going to discuss today as well.
Well, that's good. I think we had a couple questions. Oh, you were going to say something?
Well, it's sort of, like you said, it's sort of nice to do that because really, I mean, like ending this, I like want to go back and just listen, just like take a couple, like just listen to Luke and Acts, just like listen to the whole story.
Straight through,
like someone's doing like an audiobook or something, because that's really what it is. Because you get to the end of the story and you're like, oh, this is like the end of where we started in Luke.
That's actually what I did with this. So like I did my normal stuff and then I went back like a day later and I just listened to it all the way through like an audiobook.
Yeah.
Because
listen to Acts all the way through?
Or? No, 21 through the end.
Yeah.
Because especially here in this part, it reads.
It's a narrative.
Like a book.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you catch 20 in there too, where he makes the decision to go toward Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
It like the rest of this is a narrative unit.
Yeah. So,
and it's the way you're supposed to read it actually, which it's okay that that's not what we're doing, but when like you're studying your Bible, that's really how you're supposed to read narrative. It's like it's a narrative.
Yeah.
And so it's great. It worked out.
There was one of them, like the whole thing with, well, we'll get to it later. But there's parts I was like, I literally had no idea that was an axe. Like, I didn't know that had happened. Yeah. So
that's fun.
I know we had some questions. You said you were going to send me one to ask, but I forgot. Do you just want to ask it?
Sure.
Or,
let me find it.
I know the one we did get that we can start with right quick while you're looking that up was someone had sent a question talking about how that switches to we. And so the author, Luke, is he with Paul in there? Was he not with him before? And because that just kind of happened a couple, actually chapters ago, I think.
Yep.
Before, I don't know where it switched, but
yep. Luke joins Paul on a missionary journey and sticks with him. And so that's why it says we.
Is he there all the way to the end, all the way into Rome? On the boats and everything? He's following them?
I think so.
Oh.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think it says we. I think actually he, now I'm not sure. I think he leaves at some point, but I might be wrong about that. But he's there for most of this second, this last chunk of Acts. Yeah.
But remember, he's writing to Theophilus. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, oh, remember, I've got this account for you. And so when he's there, he includes, we got on this boat. We went this place.
I like how he also summarized the letter that the guy probably wrote to the governor. Like, this is probably he said.
What
Roman officials wrote to each other. Yeah.
All right, so let's hop in. 21 to the end.
So I cannot read it. Can you look at it on your phone?
You were going to ask the question.
Right. I can't read it because it's unless you want me to go and get my computer, which I can, because my email is not working on my phone.
Oh, email. Can you summarize? Do you think you remember what it was?
Make it up a little bit? I can do that. So basically.
She's going to make it up. All right.
I know.
What was the heart of the question?
I'm going to do what Luke did with that letter.
Let's do it.
This is what I think that they probably said. No. So someone emailed, and going back sort of throughout all of Luke, they related their own experience, which they said, I was saved. I said a prayer, and I didn't really have an experience. So I felt something. I felt grateful, and I was crying, and it mattered. But I have friends who've had an experience more like what she thinks that she's reading throughout Acts. So speaking in tongues or some sort of moment, a miraculous moment when the Spirit comes upon you when you turn to Jesus. And so her question is, should there be an experience like that in general? And should it be speaking in tongues? And is that okay that we aren't experiencing that as Christians? Or is that us not willing to let God go deeper with
us? That's
a
good question.
Yeah.
Good thing you're here, Lance.
Yeah. I thought you were going to answer, take a stab. Not take a stab. Yeah. You can answer it.
No, I want to hear what you would say first.
Well, I think in the wording of the question, if I remember right, it was said a couple of times, like, I said the prayer, mm-hmm. or they said the prayer, as if a lot of times we think, because we live our life in a linear timeline, that like, bang, there's a moment, and it's not always as black and white, especially not for all people. There are people who grew up in church and they never have a moment. They just feel like, I think I've believed for most of my life. But as far as an experience goes, I used to wonder about that too, because I've got a couple of friends who, like, their life was one way. They had a real encounter with God, and their life from that day forward has been completely different. And that's just not my experience. I grew up in church and kind of always believed type situation. So for someone to wonder, am I saved? Because that was part of it too, right? Like, thinking back on how do you know, can you be certain that you're saved if you didn't have some kind of spiritual experience where the Holy Spirit was overwhelming?
Have I received the Holy Spirit, which is how you know?
Like we read in Acts, and the rest of the New Testament seems to confirm that if there's fruit in your life, then, and the Holy Spirit's presence is there, like that guiding you, directing you, shaping you, that's your assurance that there's fruit in your life, that God is at work. And so I would say if the question comes out of a concern, am I really saved because I didn't have an experience, then lean into the letters that we're going to get to in this reading plan that talk about the confidence you can have before the throne of grace that God's Spirit is at work in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think based on even the reading up to this point, it's like there are definitely people who, after they heard, especially here in Acts, where it's like there was this outward, tangible expression of the Spirit, whether it was speaking in tongues or you know,
healings, all kinds of things.
Were whatever going, stuff was happening, and be like, oh yeah, when I came to faith, like I wasn't all of a sudden like speaking in tongues and people were getting healed and stuff. And so I would agree. My answer probably would have been like, the evidences of the Spirit in someone's life isn't always that, maybe, that there are other things that we read in Scripture that are definitive, like works. That's evidence of things of the Spirit.
Right.
And so
are those evidence in your life after making, you know, repenting and believing and the,
I mean, you can, I would suggest sort of two places if someone does have questions about this, because I understand that a lot of people have questions about this, and we could actually talk about this for a long time. But in, I think you could look at 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, when Paul is really almost addressing the same type question to a church, to a new church. Hey, you guys are sort of all clamoring to have some miraculous gift, but even if you have that, that's nothing, really, is what he says, without love. Because spiritual gifts are to build up the church.
Yeah.
It's for other people. It's not for you. It's okay if you have that, but really, like, everything that the Spirit gives us is for the body of Christ. So that's one section. I think also, you know, Lance said, and you said, like, this is, you know, you're saved by the fruit. And you can look at what that is, even a list in Galatians 5. He says, these are the fruits of the Spirit. And it's kindness and forbearance, and ultimately it's love again. And so I think sometimes we can read the beginnings of the church and there's all these miracles when they're proving this really is the kingdom of God. Yeah. And I think we've talked about that before. But ultimately, what's the purpose of the Spirit? It's God with us and in us, helping us to look like he is, helping us to look more and more like Jesus, which is humble and kind and caring and loving, you know?
Yeah.
So I think just thinking through what is the point, it's not for us or to look more mature. Maturity looks like Jesus.
But it's worth discussing, and maybe we'll get a little controversial here, but there are pockets of Christianity today that emphasize the experience with the Holy Spirit, connected maybe in some ways to what we read about in the early church. And so I grew up in one of those faith traditions in a church that was at least my experience with the way the Holy Spirit was talked about and the way you had experiences. I remember as a child in elementary school, we went to this summer camp and there was an evangelist guy there praying over kids. You had to get in line, like all the kids got in line down the middle aisle. He was praying for every child to receive the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues. And so, like, you're supposed to, he's like praying over you, and you're supposed to start speaking in tongues. And so I get up there, it's my turn, and I'm like in third grade or something. And I remember standing there, like, waiting for something to happen, and it never happened.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, pretty adamant that this was going to happen, and it didn't. And so he told me, all right, go get back at the end of the line. We're going to try again in a minute. And so I did, and like, got back up there a second time, thinking, like, all right, here we go. And I never spoke in tongues. I finally just started mumbling something and went back to my seat. And, you know, as a child, you're like, is something wrong with me? Whatever. And it took a lot of years for me.
Am I saved?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. It took a lot of years for me to sort through
that
experience and its effects in my life. Not the least of which, we're talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the New Testament is clear. Not every person gets all gifts. I mean, Paul will break down how there are teachers and there are those with gifts of hospitality and, you know, like not everyone gets all gifts. We could keep going, but
yeah.
I think we just have to be careful about holding up an experience with the Holy Spirit instead of looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit as benefiting the church and changing our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's some, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. It may not be right. So you may have to do some theological correction here, but you know, when we place our faith in Christ, those church words of justification and sanctification, and, you know, may not always be exactly linear, but like that really can only happen because of the indwelling of the Spirit. Like what happens kind of technically, like once you are saved. And so while there may not be this external sign of that, when you're saved or when you're justified and the process of sanctification begins, that's only because of the Spirit's ability to be in you and doing that work in your does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or is that like, no, you're kind of getting in some muddy water there.
So Fred Sanders is one of my favorite scholars who really emphasizes the Trinity for the evangelical church, because sometimes we would have either misunderstand or ignore the Holy Spirit. And a simple way that he explains it, which I think is helpful, is Jesus the Son accomplishes for us, and then the Spirit applies salvation to it for us. And so our salvation is applied through the Holy Spirit. That's the gift. And Jesus says that, I'm leaving you so that another can come. And it's better because this is God in you and with you and who's transforming you to do my work in the world. I mean, the Spirit's called the comforter, the teacher. I mean, it's not just these miraculous gifts too. I mean, so it's okay to ask the question, you know, and to think about that and to experience it if somebody has, but it's not really the purpose of the gift of the Spirit to us.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm glad we talked about that one. I'm sorry. I feel like I made it like so serious of a question. I discounted it by not letting you go and actually read it word for word. So I'm apologizing to whoever asked that.
No, I think that was pretty close.
Hopefully we captured the answer there. I'm just trying to be a nice guy, okay? All right.
You're
so
doing
21.
Great.
21 through the end. So yeah, because the last two chapters really go into into the next week, but we're going to cover all the way to the
end. Yeah, we're
going to
finish
21 through 28.
So if you're listening to this, we're going to get ahead of what you're reading.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So
we're going to spend a little bit more time next time giving an introduction to Romans, why we're doing it, what's the background, gives us a little space to do that too.
Yeah. Perfect. So that being said, I know, like, again, we read it really quick. Is there like anything besides it being a narrative or anything for you guys that was like arching for this section of like, oh man, this was like the really important takeaway, or that felt new or fresh to you guys?
I mean, that's mostly what I have are big takeaways as we sort of are wrapping this up. And so I can give you one of the things that, you know, that I feel like God put on my heart with this, which is, I think Lance talked last time about, he quoted N.T. Wright, like, how much do I have to know? And N.T. Wright says, not that much, right? To be safe, not that much. Well, I think you really see that throughout the end. Paul tells his story again.
And again.
Yes, and again, right? I mean, so we know his story by now. And it's a simple story. And anytime he says, hey, can I talk in front of you? And he explains, this is what I'm doing and this is why. I mean, he says the same things over and over and over, and it's really, so this is the Cliff's Notes. He's probably talking more, but this is what Luke, the historian, tells us is important to understand from whatever Paul said. And it's not that much. And it just, I was like, you know, you don't actually have to know that much to come to Jesus and then to share the gospel with people.
Yeah.
And have the Spirit in you.
And have the Spirit
in
you.
As we were just talking.
That's right. Like, you have to be willing to tell your story, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then you also, you know, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises of the true God. Jesus died for us, was raised for us, and, you know, the kingdom is here. I mean, that's what he says over and over and over.
Yeah, that's, I had that in, I think it's in like 22 where you first see he kind of shares his, it's kind of like Paul's testimony, but his experience of conversion in a public setting, like he's sharing his testimony. And then like the later on when he shares it again, I forget where it is, how he's added more to it. It's more like refined, and there's this added thing of how it ties to like repenting and believing. And so I was encouraged this idea of like how we should probably be able to articulate the work of Christ in our lives, and then in a way that we can do it confidently, repetitively, but then also how we can apply like the idea of the gospel of like repenting and believing and calling people to that.
And as you do it, you will refine
right
your message in the way you say that.
Yeah.
And tailored to your audience, which we've seen that over and over again, where he is sort of informs the pieces that he gives them. This is the creator God over all who's revealed himself to you finally in Jesus Christ. Or this is the one who's been promised from the God of Abraham and Isaac and Moses. This is him. I mean, you know, he refines it too based on that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
What do you got?
No, I'm going to go on some of these like weird things, like what the heck was that? Or,
well, I'll just pull back in like a big overarching theme for me was the weight of it really came from listening straight through to these chapters twice, the weight of Paul knowing he's headed to death. So He knows if he goes toward Jerusalem to bring this offering that he's been gathering from city to city, that we're going to read about in all these letters when he implores Christians in all these cities to give toward this offering that he takes to Jerusalem. He knows that he'll never be seen again by these people, and he knows that it will mean his death, and it doesn't stop him, which for me, there's a gravity to the realness of all of this, mm-hmm. that Jesus was real to him. Jesus is real today to the point where he knew it was right for him to give his life.
Yeah.
And man, that's a weighty thing.
That's the next thing I've written down. Okay. Jesus is real.
Jesus is real.
I mean, he's so real that he said the way that one of the Roman officers summarizes what Paul says is this guy who died, he says he's alive now. Like that was that was his summary of his testimony. I mean, because that was the claim, and Paul said too. And I think that's really important because Easter's next weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
Resurrection.
The resurrection.
No, you go.
The resurrection is real. And sometimes we forget the magnitude of that. You know, we focus on Jesus died for our sins, which we should. It's good because he did and we needed it. But that wouldn't matter if he hadn't have risen again, right? He rose from that through the Spirit who rose him from the grave. Now the kingdom is here and we can participate in that and we're alive too. I mean, the resurrection is what changes everything. And he says, in one of the times he's talking, hey, I'm talking about the resurrection. You guys believe in this. Why would you not believe that he would resurrect Jesus? It's such a vital part of his ministry.
Well, it's also like, not manipulative, but like he knew how to, like, he must have been very, I mean, I guess if he was a Pharisee, he was very well educated, but you get the idea, like, he knows the... Well, he knows the words to use and what to do, like with the whole flogging thing, with the whole appealing to Caesar thing.
Yeah.
He was pretty slick.
I agree. I mean, especially reading it just like through as a narrative. I mean, I'm like, man, I love Paul, first of all, but he's brilliant. And he is exactly where God wanted him to be. I mean, he was perfectly equipped for all of these moments.
Yeah, so one of the things I'd underlined as I was thinking through this is like in 21 even, where it talked about the prophet named Agabus. And I'm just thinking, like, here's a guy who, like, Paul knows, like, the role of prophets in the church. If they're calling him a prophet, he was a prophet. So it's like a New Testament prophet who's saying this stuff. And then it's kind of like, well, if a prophet is saying what God's telling you and he's, like, warning him, don't do this, and then he's like, ignoring God's will. And so I went into some deep rabbit hole of like, what did that really mean? And didn't get super clear answer, but I guess that just seemed a little, does that make sense where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
That's a question a lot of people have about that, I think.
When he takes Paul's belt and ties him up and it's like, this is what's going to happen to you if you go. And Paul says, stop trying to distract me from it. I'm going.
Yeah. But then was that like really like, is that like a prophet in the New Testament that's like, now, that's not,
well,
we're not going to really listen to what you're saying this time, but
you got to ask, what is a prophet?
Yeah.
And what is the message of a prophet? And what is the purpose of the message of the prophet? And there's not one answer across the board for all that.
I think that's kind of what I got.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not super helpful. But it's not as black
and white.
Give me
the clarity I needed. Yeah.
So there was that one.
I just want to say too, though, like, I think that's to me one of the overarching themes of Acts, though, is that, you know, like Lance said, Paul goes willingly, and there's so many echoes to, right, Jesus's passion, to like his journey to go to the cross and Paul's journey. And just like Jesus knew what was happening, Paul knows what's coming and still goes willingly, but it really is this, I mean, if you've been a follower of Jesus and you're trying to be in ministry for him, which we all are, hopefully, then there have been moments when Jesus has told me, like, this is going to be not fun for you, but I'm still calling you to do it. And I will still be with you in it. And you see throughout this that Paul knows what's coming, but he also has assurance that the Spirit is with him, that he's not alone, and that what really matters is Jesus and the kingdom. So
I think from the beginning with Paul's conversion, he knew what was going to come. He knew it was going to be a hard road. I think one other thing is I was reading through we're just going to spitfire all this stuff now. Like, how many of the letters to the other churches that we read later in the New Testament were written during this season, after this arrest, after like when he's imprisoned, waiting for all these years, is Festivus or whatever the guy's name was that was visiting him with his wife, and then the king, and
yeah, a lot of them. In fact, I think that'll be part of our setup to each letter. Is like, look, all right, when did Paul write this? Okay. What's the occasion for it?
Because some of them are earlier.
Yeah, some of them are to churches he'd already helped establish and left. Others are to churches he's never even visited, and he doesn't know them, but he prays for them.
Yeah,
and so there's a lot of
that all happens in this last narrative here.
No,
some of it already.
Yeah. Some of it's already happened.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is. I really love that we've gone through this, because I do think it will make, when we get to those letters, richer to go, oh, this is where Paul was or where Peter was whenever they were writing these letters.
So yeah.
More context.
And it was a long time. Like even in the one spot, for 2 years while he waited. I mean, this is like,
if you miss that sentence, you think that this all happens really quick.
Yeah.
But no, he sat under house arrest for 2 years. Before the next thing happened.
Mm-hmm. Almost every time he gives a time frame, it's 2 years, it's 3 months. To me, it's one of the other things I wrote down was we read Acts and we think, oh, this is happening, and every single day was this exciting moment whenever someone was let out of prison, or there was this really important healing, or this counsel. But really, for Paul, just like it is for us, it's a long road of obedience.
Yeah.
For Christians, it is God with us. It is the Spirit working through us for His kingdom. But it's a long road. I mean, he was also making tents. You know, he was also just eating with his friends. I mean, he was doing all those things at the same time. And so, it's not right. I think that's really important to remember.
For sure, when you think about what he writes in Philippians, where he's like, I know what it's like to have plenty. I know what it's like to suffer. I can do all things through Christ, like that whole thing, because it's been this long road.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He's wrestling with, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
This has been a long road. But the longer I live, the more work I get to do in the name of Jesus.
Right.
So.
I mean, if we start Acts with the Spirit coming upon them not that long after the ascension, and we end Acts in 59 or something like that, that's decades.
Yeah.
That's how long all of this was happening.
Yep.
For us in this like really fast-paced world, that's hard to imagine.
Yeah.
I think so the part I was mentioning earlier, the whole Paul sails to Rome. I mean, I remember he got there, but I didn't know like all the details of that. And then him having to plead with these people like, hey, dude, now's not a good time to go. The weather, like, again, he's like so wise and God revealed some stuff to him. But then the whole like shipwreck thing and this like tribe of people and then the serpent biting his hand and he just flings it off and their whole wrestling with that. I'm like, what the heck?
He's a bad man.
And he's healing people. No, he's a God.
Yeah.
Paul gets that a lot. We're going to worship you or we're going to attack you.
Yeah. And then he's in Rome and sharing doing what he's doing. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
What I read.
And he's imprisoned, but it's more like house arrest.
Yeah.
And it was in many cases a really generous imprisonment because he had the ability to have his friends attend to him. He was able to write and send out letters. But ultimately, I don't know if we're ready to talk about like his demise.
Yeah, I was going to say like some of it was like there was a lot of people that had gathered, it had said.
In which part?
He's in Rome here.
Yeah, and they were like, hey, we never heard anything bad about you. But we have heard bad things about these Christians.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Well, I think the last, what I was struck by here at the very end was what he talked about, what Isaiah said in there, and just reading that and about this idea that, you know, there's maybe he was talking specifically about the Jewish leaders here is who that's applied to. But I just started thinking about how easy it is to write off thinking that like people are too far gone. They're too embittered. They're too, you know, they're never going to understand. You know, they can't perceive. Their hearts are dull. Their ears, they can barely hear. Their eyes have been closed. But ultimately, at the end, he's like, no, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and turn, and I will heal them. Yeah. You know, God will heal that. The message of the gospel, it is for everybody, that there's nobody that's too far gone or too embittered. And maybe this is me doing Jesus plus on that, but I don't know. I just felt encouraged with that.
I think it is. I mean, and Paul, I think you're capturing how Paul feels too, because that's a prophecy. My people are. They're gonna reject their Messiah that I'm gonna send, which is why it's a suffering servant and why the Gentiles are invited in. You know, this is what they had said was gonna happen. But Paul says at another point, like, I wish that I was cut off from Christ if only my brethren, the Israelites, would turn to him and receive him. I mean, think about the extent of his burden for his people in that. And so I think, what he wanted to do. He was sent to the Gentiles, but he wanted it for his people, because almost every time he gives a story, he's like, that's what he tells. Who's the king who he talks to in the beginning?
Agrippa
the second, not the guy with the worms, but his son.
Yeah.
But he tells him, you know, like, how could I not preach this? This is who we've been waiting for. I have to. I mean, but he knows that they probably won't listen, but he still is hoping that they will.
Yeah. And today, I think for me, in like today's context, it's like how easily we drift into like our pockets, and there's like inside, outside, and it's like, well, I don't have to worry about them because they're, you know, they'll never listen to me, or this message isn't, I don't know.
No, I agree.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
so
I think
partially convicting too, of like, man, if I really believe this, if this really is a message for all,
I'll tell you another thing that I think Paul it just exemplifies throughout this whole narrative. And his ministry is he says over and over, I have a clear conscience before everybody, before the Greeks, before the Jewish, before God. I have a clear conscience. And he says that, and he knows he's right, and nobody can actually say anything he's done, because they say that over and over and over, just like with Jesus. This guy is innocent, he's innocent. And that enables him to then preach the gospel. And they have to listen because he hasn't actually done anything wrong. And I just kept thinking, like, I wonder if we can say that? No one can say anything to me, not the people in the church, not the people who I'm trying to reach. Can I really say that? Do I have a completely clear conscience before God and before man so that I'm able to fulfill the ministry that God's called me to? I mean, that's a pretty impressive statement.
Sure. I was just thinking, if I were to say anything, it'd be like, you know how broken I am. Yeah. If God's grace is real for me, it can be real for you.
That's right.
Yeah.
But am I at least trying to?
Yeah.
Like, be innocent before God and man? Am I trying to, you know, so that they'll hear me?
Well, guys, here we are at the end of our second book.
Yeah.
So, Luke, Acts.
We did it.
We've done this. Is two in.
Yeah, we got to talk about Paul though.
Okay, because
it doesn't.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't really explain what happened. So, church tradition holds that he was martyred in Rome. He was beheaded. Likely, I think many scholars would point to the time when Nero was persecuting Christians, but that's not certainly known. Do you have more? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
but it's not that. That's we're not even getting that later. I guess I'm saying it's not in scripture.
No, it's not.
That's right.
This is church tradition.
Yeah,
I think if I remember right, Nero, the persecution of Nero happens around 64 AD, somewhere in that time frame. So,
yeah.
Paul likely gave his life.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to think that that's what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And church tradition holds that it did.
Well, because he knew his life would end there. Probably,
that's right.
This was the vibe he
had. So why do you think that Luke doesn't tell us about it?
He likely concluded writing this before.
Before he did.
I think so. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
People smarter than me certainly have other ideas, I guess.
No, I really was just asking that.
Yeah.
I mean, because it really does end on such a high note, you know, which I love that, because even if we're thinking about Luke and Acts again as one volume, and you think about how Jesus began his ministry, and he opens it with saying, here's the kingdom, it's here.
Yeah.
And then whenever he's baptized, he's anointed as the king. And then this ends with saying, and Paul preached the kingdom, and Jesus is Lord. And everybody heard it. I mean, that's really even like, and I'm like, okay, that's what we're called to, this cruciform life. Like we, no matter what it looks like, it's probably not going to look like Paul, but it's going to look like something. But really, it's for the kingdom. It's for Jesus. So yep. I love that that's how it hook ended.
Yeah, because you'd think kind of like the impact of the letters that he wrote that we're going to get into to these churches were so significant for these churches and the early church that they got past their time to ultimately become part of the body, that somebody would be documenting like, hey, the author who wrote these, like we hold him in high regard, that there would be some more mention, I guess, or you'd have some detail of that, or maybe that's just gotten lost with time, that in the early church they all knew, but it wasn't important for us to know, and that's why we don't know exact
details. Yeah, it wasn't included in the canon of Scripture because it wasn't written in what became a biblical book.
Yeah.
But
maybe they knew.
Yeah.
Word of mouth.
And Paul also implies that's what's coming.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows where he's headed. I mean, remember like last week we talked about him saying, I'm never going to see you again.
Yeah.
And they all mourned for him basically right then.
But that's still kind of like inferred. It's not the explicit details surrounding like his end.
Yeah.
Right. You know, but if you go to Rome, there are all kinds of places where it's like, we believe Paul may have been at one point imprisoned here at this place, or there's like a whole Paul in Chains cathedral, not a cathedral, but like a small church. You can visit, and who knows what of this is accurate, but you know, over the years, tradition has held that he was there. And
sorry, I'm laughing because you said chains, and we had an earlier conversation before the recording started. So, all right. Well, any again, I want to, and it's exciting. I think it's a big deal, just even in our small group. Yeah, it's like, man, this is a whole nother book of the Bible that we've gotten through, guys. And for some of them, this is probably only the third or fourth book that they've ever read, because that's what
we've
been doing.
Lots of details, lots of stories that are hard to sort of wrap your head around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For our culture.
So if you're new to reading the Bible and you've been following along with us, this should be an encouragement. Way to go.
Yeah.
Two down.
And if you're just jumping in, way to go.
Yeah.
Like, way to jump in. Even at Garner State Park over spring break, we were talking about all this, a bunch of us, down by the river one day while our kids were all swimming. It's like, it's working its way into people's lives, into random conversations. And it's so good to see God's word come alive this way.
It is.
I'm glad we're doing it together.
Mm. Yeah. And that's what, dude, this is great, but doing it in small group, it just takes it to another level. And so, man, I would encourage people. I know there's got to be a time, I should know this, it's after Easter, probably a couple weeks after Easter, where they're going to have an opportunity for people to get connected in a small group. If you're not in a small group and you're doing this, try your hardest to take advantage of that opportunity.
I think it's third week in April is Group Link.
Yep.
Sometime around there.
Definitely. And the sneak peek, the new cards.
New bookmarks. We gave them out last night at church.
These ones are kind of brown. These ones are kind of bluish gray.
Gray, yeah.
So they're out.
Yep.
So go get them. Lance, would you kind of pray for us and wrap us up in the reading of Acts?
Absolutely.
Thanks, man.
All right. Lord, thank you for the opportunity as a church we have to read your word alongside so many others and to be talking about it in small group and on podcasts and in living rooms and all the places we go. The truth of your word is that it doesn't return void, that you are shaping us to not just know about you and about your church, but to experience you. And so, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would bear fruit in our lives, that we would learn to live this upside-down life in our world so that we can help more people know Jesus as we're shaped by you. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's Bible Reading Recap. We hope these conversations are helpful as we all seek Jesus in his word. Listen, if you go to clearcreekresources.org, we have a lot more resources dedicated to helping you study the Bible. Because when we open the Bible, God opens his mouth. Let's continue to seek God in Scripture together. We'll see you next week.